Hi, we are Vintage City Church based out of Fort Collins, Colorado. Welcome to our podcast. As a family, we are currently working through the book of Revelation. If you'd like to watch the live video of this teaching, head over to our website at vintagecitychurch.com. With that, let's get started with today's teaching.
All righty. Come on, hug faster. We're going to tackle a lot. I want to finish the overview with the Church of Philadelphia if we can, because last Sunday we just didn't ever get to teaching because we just worshiped. So I want to dive in here. If we study history, there are several texts and scholars that will support that there was an incredibly large synagogue of Jews in Philadelphia. And what was going on is these synagogues were expelling Jews who had accepted Jesus as the Messiah, and they were refusing non-Jewish or Gentile believers to participate in synagogues. So they were excommunicating them from culture. So if we understand this as the historical reality, it kind of becomes the lens that we can discern this. What Jesus declares is that he holds the keys of David, indicating his direct access to Yahweh as the one who prophetically is declared to come from David's throne. He's just telling them, I'm in the line of David. You can keep following me. Why would he say that? Because in that culture, in that time, the synagogue was where those that were following Yahweh would go worship. These people had been booted out. So Jesus is encouraging them, saying, no, you are following the right one. He holds the keys, which is a declaration in ancient world. Holding the keys is a declaration of family authority. If you remember the prodigal son story, when he comes back, what's restored to him, one of the things that's restored to him was a ring. The ring was the key to the house. It was what gave him authority to make decisions for the house. So what Jesus is saying to them is, I'm the one that controls the kingdom. No matter what you see going on around you, trust me. I think we're going to sense that in this text, all overarchingly. Jesus is going to encourage them to keep trusting him. So for us, I want to encourage us to grab onto that mindset. Keep trusting him. Keep that phrase in front of your mind. Keep that phrase in front of your eyes. Keep it playing in your heart. Keep trusting him. Why? Because there's going to be challenges, is what he says to them. There's going to come things in your life that are going to challenge your desire to trust me. What are those things? What happens if I could tell you right now, hey, you're going to show up tomorrow at work and they're going to lay you off? Instantly, you're like, oh, can I trust the Lord? Some of you are like, praise God, let it come. There are things in life, circumstances in life, difficulties that we go through that will challenge our ability to trust the Lord. So he says to them, I'm the one who holds the authority. I am the one in the line of David. You can trust me. I know the things you do. I have opened a door. I love this because I think it's a good reminder for us. How many have ever felt in life that sometimes being faithful gets unnoticed? How many grew up in a family where you felt like you were the one that maybe did things right and you had a sibling that didn't and they got all the attention? Anybody ever felt that before? Right. There's some hands that shot up. We do have vintage care. We'll help. What he's saying to the believers in Philadelphia is that their faithfulness had not gone unnoticed. He knows what they've been doing, and so he's making a way for them. What I love about that is he's telling them, hey, you're not on your own. Could I encourage us to just grab from this a simple truth? We are not on our own. He didn't orphan us into the world and say, good luck, here's the Bible, I hope it works. His covenant to them, his covenant to us is, I'm with you, I'm watching, I know what you're doing. Now, if you're wired like me, for whatever reason, the way I'm wired when I read Jesus say, I know the things you do, the first thing I go to is a place of like, it just makes me want to make sure I do everything right. But what it also tells me is that his eye is on our lives from a care point of view, not from an inspection point of view. How many parents have watched your children do the right thing and were really proud of them? How many would echo the fact that sometimes you have to remind yourself to encourage what was right because it's so easy to critique what's wrong? I love here that he's encouraging what's right. Hey, you're doing a good job. I'm watching you. What he's saying to them is you've basically been kicked out of synagogue. You've been excommunicated from community. Can you imagine if you came to the doors of Vintage and at the door somebody said, nope, you're not allowed in. We don't have a grid for that because it doesn't happen in our culture much. But if you're like, I just deeply want to go worship the Lord with the people of God. I want to be in that moment where all of our voices are rising to heaven because that God is enthroned on the praises of his people moment. I want to be part of it. And somebody's at the door saying, you can't be here. We don't want you here. You don't belong with us. That's what's going on for them. And what he says to them is his promise of restoration. I love his statement. Stay the course, stay faithful, full circle. You'll look like you were in the right. That's essentially what he says. I'm going to bring them to bow at your feet and tell you you were in the right. Could I say to some of us who've walked lines and are walking lines, where the stances we've taken to honor the Lord, we've been ostracized. Some of us have been really, really criticized by family for taking a kingdom line, for just saying, hey, this is what the scriptures say. Right now in our culture, there are a lot of places where to just stand with the scriptures clearly as they're taught puts us in the line of fire in a lot of locations. People criticizing, how could you be that intolerant? How could you be that unloving? And you're like, I'm just aligning with the scriptures. Here's what I want us to hear that he was saying to them. Stay the course, trust me, I will vindicate you. Church, we have to decide early on, are we gonna live for the approval of men or the approval of him? You're like, but what if we're wrong? Paul makes a statement in Corinthians that I don't love the statement, but I think it's good that it's in there. Hey, if we're wrong and this isn't real, we're the biggest idiots in the world. And you cannot attempt to think that away. You have to embrace it. I would love to offer an idea about worship. One of the reasons I think it's so important. I think worship affords us an opportunity to encounter the Lord, and that encountering of the Lord builds our faith and our trust in who he is. It's a great place for us to be able to walk away going, man, sometimes I feel like I'm crazy, but Lord, I know when I sense you, I know when I encounter you that it's real. And so what happens when the church at large has lost her passion for worship and therefore lost her ability to actually encounter the Lord in worship? Because there's supposed to be something that happens in worship. It's that when we come together, there's a force and an energy that goes vertical to where God inhabits the praises of his people and he's in the room and he's mixed into all the situations and healings are happening and sign and wonders happening. That's supposed to be the norm for the church. And when we lose that, we rob ourselves of a place for our faith to be constantly reaffirmed. Just a thought. You're like, well, how can I fix that? Your worship is in your control. I can't worship for you and I can't stop you from worshiping. My hope is that we have a hands-in covenant as family. We walk through those doors and it's game time. Like mentally. Like I might put it over the posts. Game time. You know, make it be like Notre Dame football where you have to like slap game time coming in. Where we understand as a family and as a team, when we come into this place, it is supernaturally sacred. We came in with one agenda and that's him. It's holy ground. It's a sacred space. It's not just something where I'm going to come in and evaluate going, I don't know. Is it good? Is it not good? I'm not sure. What time's lunch? You see, I want us to consider something I think this passage reveals, and that's faithfulness to him brings favor into our lives. Because he says to them, I know the things you do. Essentially, I love the way you're living, and I've opened doors for you. Church, don't lose sight of the fact that being faithful brings open doors to your life. It's not a slot machine idea or a spiritual ATM. If I do, he does. That's the wrong mindset. But the right mindset is to understand that we serve a king who's incredibly faithful, and he loves to dispense his favor on those who are faithful. So if you've wrestled at any point with, does this matter? What good is it doing me? It's bringing his favor into your situation. Philadelphia as a church was holding the line of discipline in the kingdom. They were remaining strong because of their love for him. Are there areas for you right now where you're like, you know what, the only reason I'm staying strong right now in this situation, the only reason I'm hanging on is because I love Jesus? Anybody have some of those going on? I want you to hear his encouragement that he gave to Philadelphia. Good job. I'm proud of you for wanting to quit, but not because you love me. Because being faithful to his word and his way brings his agency into our situation. He sees it and he rewards it. If you catch nothing out of Philadelphia except that, please remember, Jesus sees our faithfulness and he will reward it. He said he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I love that the kingdom of darkness, I believe the kingdom of darkness loves to whisper the opposite of that. There's no benefit. What good is it? You know what? Just make the choice you want to make. You deserve to live a life that you enjoy. You don't deserve this difficulty. Anybody ever heard any of those whispers in your head? It's a lie. Whether it's in your marriage or it's in your church situation or it's even worried about suicide, the lie from hell is there's no benefit in following Jesus. It's a total fabrication. There is benefit. There is favor in following him. And he finds, what he reveals to them is he finds incredible pleasure in opening doors for those who stay loyal to him. One last thought about open doors. How many have ever struggled to make decisions in life? You get opportunities and you're like, do I go? Do I not? A door closes and you're like, I can't believe the door's closing. So you're just pounding on the door. Why is it closed? Philadelphia did not open the doors, nor did they close the doors as a church. Jesus did. And I think it's interesting to consider his statement to them as, you've been faithful, so I've opened doors for you. And I just want to release us. When you've walked in alignment with the Lord and you're walking clean, and you're like, nobody walks clean. Yes, that's not true. Paul actually says the opposite. It is possible to walk in total alignment with Jesus. That's why he modeled it for us. We are to be in a journey. First John will teach us that we are to be in a journey where we're winning the battle with sin as we go through life. That the older we get in our faith, it doesn't have anything to do with age, it has to do with maturity and faith. So you can have 18, 19, 20-year-olds who are incredibly mature in their faith and they've already begun to win wars over sin. The goal of the kingdom is that we win the war against sin, and then we start walking in supernatural favor to where he can just keep dispensing favor and favor and favor because we keep walking in alignment, and he starts to open doors for us, and we just walk through them without second guessing whether or not it's him or not, because we just understand he's the one that opens doors and closes doors. So we can put away this double-mindedness of, what do I do? What do I not do? If you're living in sin, don't go anywhere. The only answer when you're in sin is to get on your knees and repent. You shouldn't be walking through any doors. You shouldn't be arguing at any closed doors when you're in sin. The only thing you should be doing is fixing your sin. But at the moment you walk pure with the Lord and you're like, I'm in alignment with the Lord. I repented for my wrong and I'm living the kingdom and I'm doing life the way Jesus said. Church, we're supposed to be able to trust the open doors and the closed doors. I think we just need to learn to trust his leadership. That's what I love that he says to them. Hey, I opened, I closed. You can trust me. He says, you have little strength, yet you obeyed my word and did not deny me. And I want to focus on the words that Jesus uses in this phrase. Patient endurance or little strength. Hypomone means to remain put or under something. It is the idea of being placed and staying there. Mikron dynami is a phrase that means little strength. I think we could all agree that there's nothing that is less appealing than or alluring or exciting than being encouraged to remain in place and stay under difficulty and step into the truth of feeling insignificant. And yet Jesus commends these attributes in Philadelphia. They felt defeated and small. Now I would imagine if you showed up here and we said, you can't come in, you're not one of us, you'd feel defeated and small. Because that's going to transcend for this culture into the marketplace. It's going to transcend into all their familial relationships. Think about if you have unique relationships within the church, which we're supposed to have, and all of a sudden you're like, I can't be connected to them because they said I don't belong. There's probably some emotional pain in that. And Jesus says to them, I'm proud of you for being willing to stay in the spot where you feel defeated and small and not bail on me. Therefore, I think there's a reality and an idea that we can learn from this. Being in situations where we feel incredibly overwhelmed, maybe we feel underpowered, maybe out of control, when we have the courage to stay the course, continuing to follow Jesus, continuing to live the way he wants, it brings his favor and his pleasure into our lives. I would love to offer it one step further. I actually think it's what he expects. Because what we see in these messages is Jesus evaluating the church at the time. And so he says to Philadelphians, I'm proud of you. Keep it going. Maybe we take it from a different lens, which that in the moments where we shift our obedience in the face of trouble, that in the moment we do that, we shift our allegiance. If trouble can cause us to leave following him, maybe we weren't really aligned with him. What I want to encourage you in is that those places where you feel weak and powerless, the places where you feel out of control, places where you feel defeated and insignificant, those are actually the places for you to hold the line and earn favor. All you have to do in that moment is go, Lord, I don't feel so great in this. This is awful. I kind of hate it. But I am not bailing on you. I am not leaving your way because of how I feel. I think his admonition to us would be very simple. Don't quit. No matter how hard it gets, don't let difficulty cause you to let go of my nature. Why? He drops a bomb. I am coming soon. Regardless of our understanding of end times, I want to take that idea and throw it away. What Jesus declares here out of his own mouth is, I am coming soon. When? I don't know. But I think the only way to discern what this means in the Greek is that he's coming soon. It should cause us to understand. His encouragement to them is, here's I'm proud of you for doing this, and here's why. I'm coming soon. Why would he say that? As an encouragement for them to hold on and to not quit. It was to give them a perspective to live from. Therefore, his return is to give us a perspective. What that tells me is if we forget the eternal perspective, we'll lose sight of how to live in the world today. It also tells me that as circumstances around us in the earth, we are different people. We are not. That's the message of the gospel. That we are a new creation. While we live and breathe amongst other human beings, and while we share the human reality with them, we're actually a different people that have become a new creation, and we're citizens of a new place. And so if we can remember that our king's coming, it allows us to understand that whatever's going on around us is just temporary. Even when it hurts, it's not that big a deal. We just have to push pause and go, you know what? What are my circumstances telling me to do? What is Jesus telling me to do? Okay, Jesus wins. here's what I would give you. What he seems to be telling Philadelphia is, I see that you want to quit and you didn't. That tells me that wanting to quit and actually quitting are different. Church, I think there's an incredible reward for us when we refuse to quit when we want to. In other words, it's okay for you to look in the mirror and go, I really want to quit right now. I really want to walk away from everything I believe. I'm really questioning whether or not it's worth it. This seems like it's just a load of hokum. Lord, I am not feeling it right now. Why? Why is it okay? Because Jesus did it. In the garden, Jesus prays a prayer that we have to understand. We have these great biblical realities where we're like, oh, that was such a beautiful prayer. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Let me translate that to modern English. Hey, this cross thing I think is really dumb. I don't want to do it. But I'd rather be faithful to you. So I'll do what you ask me to do, even though I don't want to. How does that not translate to every area of our life? Where the answer is, this situation here, I hate it. I don't want to stay in it. It hurts. It's difficult. But Lord, it's not about what my circumstances are like. It's not about what you're asking me to go through. What it's about is what you asked of me. And so here's what you've asked of me. I'm going to go back to the scriptures and find out what they've asked of me, and I'm going to live it. When we refuse to quit when we want to, it reveals our faith in him, and it reveals that we are under his authority, not the authority of our circumstance. When we refuse to quit when we want to, it reveals that we are under his authority, not the authority of our circumstance. I think those are like the Lord saying, yes, yes, yes. Next time you want to quit fighting forward, next time you're, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's at work, whether it's in a relationship, next time you want to quit fighting forward and living the kingdom, and we all have those moments, take a deep breath and realize you're just being blessed with an opportunity to earn favor with your faithfulness. And in every one of those situations, the right answer is, man, Lord, it's not about what I want. It's about what you want. Holy Spirit, will you lead me back to truth? I want to dig in on this a little bit. Don't go to the scriptures and try to figure out how to make them say what you want them to say. Go to the scriptures neutral and ask what they say. Go study the scriptures with an eye to see what they say. Sit with the Lord neutral. Lord, here I am. I have no lean. I have no desire. I'm stripping myself of desire. What do you want from me? It's easy to hear God say what you need him to say when you want him to say it. It takes true discipleship to allow the scriptures to have authority in your life when it's opposite of what you want. I would offer that that is the definition of discipleship. A learner under discipline. What is the discipline? This text is how I'm going to live. I am subjecting myself to it, forcing it to lead me. I'm not coming to it with a lean or a mindset, asking it to prove my opinion. I'm absolving myself of my opinions, and I'm letting it become my teacher. I got lots more. We don't have lots more time. I do believe this issue's under attack right now. My dad used to quote a phrase all the time to me. In the last days, if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. That there's a deception that will have an impact on the church, is what that teaching is. And it's Paul's teaching. That as we get to the last days, what we're going to see is even the people of God wanting the scriptures to say what they need them to say instead of applying their lives to the scriptures and letting the scriptures lead them. I'm not trying to be I'm not trying to take an encouraging word and make it tough, but I am trying to call something out that I think is dangerous in our culture. We have to come back to being a people that the text governs our life. Our life doesn't govern what the text says. That is what it means to follow Jesus. Throughout the history of the church, that is what it's meant to follow Jesus. Is I align myself with how he says to live. And there's going to be several places where I don't like it, and that's okay. It's okay not to like it, it's just not okay not to do it. That's what Jesus reveals in the cross. All right, let's stand. And go home, tell your neighbors, you should come to my church. My pastor can take an encouragement and make it tough. Why would I say that? I want for us to be a people that he can say, I love the way you endured difficulty. I'm proud of you for not quitting when it was tough. Which means we got to identify, I want to quit, but Lord, I'm not going to because of my love for you. Jesus, we love you, we honor you. Would you forgive us of ever trying to make this into an easy thing? Because the gospel is a stumbling block to wickedness. For the parts of us that want to do what we want, it gets in the way of. And we love that, and we need it. Holy Spirit, will you take this week, and will you help us apply it? Will you help us evaluate our lives from the lens of, where have I been willing to quit instead of staying the course? Because we want to be able, like Philadelphia, to hear you say, hey, even when you felt weak and small and insignificant, I love that you didn't deny me. You stayed the course. So let your face shine upon us. Let your kindness invade our lives. Give us a lot of grace for each other, and give us a lot of courage to discipline ourselves before you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for your time with us. If you can, we would love to have you join us at a live gathering. We are located at 1501 Academy Court in Fort Collins, Colorado. If you'd like to learn more about Vintage City Church, including our gathering times, previous teachings, and how to become a part of our family, visit us today at vintagecitychurch.com or connect with us on social media.